Welcome to Shir 2 on the Sabbath. And here, we will examine the concept of melacha. How do we observe Shabbos? The Torah tells us to refrain from work, and the actual word Shabbos means to rest. The Torah tells us in Shemos 19:9 that the seventh day is Shabbos. You shouldn't do any work. This is the essence of Shabbos. However, the question is, what is work according to the Torah's definition? So work clearly does not mean physical work or labor. On Shabbos, I may carry a heavy load, so physical exertion is clearly not meant. Yet if I carry a small item into the street, then I am profaning Shabbos. Keeping Shabbos does not mean staying away from my regular job, although this is included in keeping Shabbos. The laws of Shabbos include much more than this and are based on different principles. Because our concept of work and the Shabbos concept of work are so different, then we're going to stick with the Torah's term, which is called melacha. Now, in order to understand this concept, this melacha concept, we need to study the oral law. A clear understanding of melacha is vital to the understanding of what the Torah wants from us when it says to keep Shabbos. The term melacha comes from the construction of the Mishkan, known as the tabernacle, in the desert. Any melacha performed in the construction of the Mishkan is forbidden on Shabbos. And when examining all the activities needed to build the Mishkan, we find that they form a cross-section of all the main types of productive activities that people do. The Torah is giving us a clear indication of the nature and scope of melacha. There are certain melachos that the Torah mentions explicitly, including carrying in Shemos 16:29 and lighting a fire in Shemos 35:3, and these teach us important facts about the laws of Shabbos. The written law provides the outline for Shabbos, while the oral law gives us the details and also defines these laws to practical life, and therefore we focus on the oral law, on halacha, which is Jewish law. These laws consist of a system of legislation that comes from one central idea, and we must identify this central idea, as nothing has done more harm to proper Shabbos observation than the total misconception that melacha is just physical effort or labor, because this is totally false. Rav Hirsch builds on the following ideas to explain melacha. Shabbos testifies to the fact that God created the universe. Mankind is constantly trying to gain mastery over the universe, and man is fairly successful at this. We even see in Tehillim, V'ha'aretz nasan livnei adam. Mankind is always in danger of forgetting that we ourselves are absolutely and completely dependent on God. We forget that our power over nature comes from God, and that we must fully conduct our lives in His service. Along comes the Jewish nation, and we are given the task to preserve this truth for the future salvation of all mankind. The Jewish nation controls its environment like all others, meaning Jewish individuals actively engage in the world. But once a week, we must recognize and show that we recognize that all of our power comes from God. And therefore, on Shabbos, we, the Jewish people, refrain from all activities that signify human power over nature. By refraining from all acts of creation, we pay silent homage to the Creator, that He is the source of all power. What is the essential characteristic of human creativeness? It is the intelligence that directs these activities. Here, we find a fundamental halachic principle, which is the basis for all Shabbos law, and this is called Meleches Machsheves Asra Torah. The Torah forbids as melacha the realization of an intelligent purpose by practical skill. So in other words, you must intend the melacha that you're doing. It must be purposeful. Any purely destructive act, no matter how strenuous, is not a melacha. And this is the term Kol HaMekalkalim Piturim. If one would knock down a house just for the sake of knocking down the house, they're not performing a melacha. And as we'll see later, you're actually not allowed to do this for for two reasons. One is that it's not in the spirit of Shabbos, and two, it is prohibited rabbinically. But if such an act was done, the person did not violate the Torah by performing a malacha. If one destroyed a house with the intent to build, which is a constructive purpose, he would violate the Torah, as this is a full malacha. It is the purpose, the intention, the expression of human intelligence when it is constructive, and this is what defines malacha. Any act, even very small, that shows man's constructive mastery over nature is a malacha. So for example, turning on a light, washing clothing, tying a knot, or building a house, these are all malachos. So to summarize, a malacha is any act that shows man's mastery over the world by the constructive exercises of his intelligence and skills. Now, based on our definition, we can see how very small things are full-fledged, biblically prohibited malachos, such as writing a word or actively using electricity, in other words, like turning on a light. These acts use man's creative powers. By refraining from these activities, the Jew, as the representative of mankind, affirms that it is only by God's will that mankind has dominion over the earth, and God is the source for all creativeness. Now I'm going to read Diane Grunfeld's words exactly. Let it be clearly understood that giving up malacha is a positive spiritual act. Man's work in the weak and the illusion which it fosters is as a veil which hides him from the true nature of his purpose in the world. Giving up malacha means lifting the veil. So long as there is the slightest trace of malacha in our life on Shabbos, the veil hangs in place. In the spiritual sphere, the smallest act can have as great an effect as the largest. He who presumes to do even one single malacha on this day thereby denies God as creator and master of the world. This is why desecration of the Shabbos by malacha is equivalent in the eyes of the Torah to apostasy and idol worship. On the other hand, when we see a Jewish boy or girl refrain from plucking a single flower on Shabbos, we see something that is a greater testimony to God than all the high-sounding words of poets and philosophers. We could understand, therefore, why cessation from malacha is the essential requirement of Shabbos observance. This concludes Shir number 2, part 1, on the concept of malacha, and next time we will continue to explore this topic. Thanks for listening.